Blog Talk Radio.
Beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory. And it's good for us to be here on another session of we weren't on last week, but we thank God that we're here. And I still have my ongoing question that is so imperative, and that is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So we'd like to welcome all of our listeners on today, our LinkedIn connections, our Facebook friends, our Blog Talk friends, and our Twitter followers. We say welcome to Truth Ministry. So it's good to be here. Like the psalmist says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. And he goes on to say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. But we want you to know, as we know, that there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So this is Apostle Paul's letter to the Ephesian church, the church at Ephesus. The believers who were already saved. That's really a problem on today. People that don't know God, they pick up the Bible and they read in the letters starting from Romans all the way to Revelation, and they, you know, that's talking to them. No, if you haven't been born again, the Gospels is they were under the law. That's when Jesus was calling us out in the Gospels. The salvation book in the Bible is the Acts of the Apostles. That's where salvation is. The 12 whom he chose, he told them, and all of the disciples, which were about 120 on the day of Pentecost, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brethren. They were in one accord in one place on the day of Pentecost. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them clothing or as divided tongues like as of fire. It set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives them utterance. So this is when the man of God, Peter, began to preach. So there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven. They said, hereby we hear them speak in our own language wherein we were born, they heard them speak the wonderful works of God. So what's to be noted about this is they had to go back to the city of Jerusalem till they'd be endued with power from on high. That's what he said. And Luke was the one who wrote the Acts of the Apostles. He also wrote St. Luke. So that was a continuation. After Jesus' resurrection, he was on the earth for 40 days, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And so he told them, he said, Jesus was on the road to Emmaus, walking with them. They thought he was a gardener. He appeared in another form. He appeared in many infallible proofs, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And so he told them, thus behooved Christ to suffer and arise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Thus I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So if the church started after Pentecost, it's not God's church. Because these are the apostles whom the Lord Jesus Christ chose himself. So where the foolishness and confusion comes in is after men slept, just like Jesus says, the enemy came in. He gives the analogy in the 13th chapter of Matthew. When men slept, the enemy came in and sowed tares among the wheat. So the men who slept were, after all the apostles died, in 320 A.D., was when this man by the name of Constantine had this vision with a so-called Trinity and all that. That's foolishness, because God is one. That's why I use my ongoing theme, the Godhead. He is the same God that was back in the beginning. Moses wrote of him in the 90th Psalm, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place throughout all generations. He goes on to say, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. So he is the everlasting God. He is the creator, Isaiah says, of the ends of the earth. That's why he was saying, what sayest thou, O Jacob? My way is hid from the Lord. My way is passed over from my God. This is in the 40th chapter of Isaiah. He goes on to let him know, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainted not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He give power to the faint, them that have no might, increase the strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, young men shall utterly fall. And the writer goes on to say, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So God can blow his own horn. This is what he always wanted to know. Even the Jews, they knew they were his chosen people. He chose them, and he gave them the oracles of God. So he's not. That's why in Romans 11:29 says, for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. God chose Israel as his chosen people. He gave them the oracles of God, and he's not going to repent. That's what that means. Not that you get a gift before you repent. That's totally ridiculous. That's doing violence to the scriptures. That's like Jesus told the Pharisees, you do greatly err not knowing the scriptures, neither the power of God, because there's only one God, and he's the same one. He can never be what he is not. When he gets done being what he wants to be, he goes back to being what he always was, what he never ceased to be. He's always God. He's everywhere. In every place, he's everywhere, here, now, there. God can come to, leave you, come to you, not gone, nowhere. He's an omnipresent spirit. So the only way we could see him was in the face of Jesus Christ. He is the beginning of the creation of God in the book of the Revelation, where we're at. And he is the pattern that Adam was formed after. So this is why Moses made Apostle Paul made reference in the 4th and the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians. He's talking about open face and not as the children of Israel. They steadfastly, they couldn't look on Moses. He had to put a veil on his face when he talked to the children of Israel. Then when he talked to him, talking about God, he took the veil off. He says, which veil is done away in Christ. He says, when it shall turn to the Lord, then it shall be taken away. Talking about Israel, when they turn their heart to the Lord. So Israel as a nation, the Jews as a nation, they did not believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. So that's where their problem is. So not the whole nation. So that's what the 12 tribes of Israel is all about, the 144,000 that he's going to bring in, 12,000 from each one of those tribes. That's not the Jehovah's Witnesses. Those are the 12 tribes of Israel, the 144,000. Like I said before, I mean, somebody got to have some sense. I'm not scared to tell it. I've been saved. This is my 39th year. And the point being is, if the so-called group of folks who call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses, it's supposed, I don't know how many million of them it is, according to their information. So if 100, only 100, listen how stupid this is. This is totally stupid, with all capital letters, how stupid this is. If it's only 144,000 is going to be saved, and it's several million of them, then the rest of them are crazy. That don't make sense. That don't make sense at all. So you got to, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. So this is why the Old Testament word that came out of the book of Deuteronomy says, I'll give you good doctrine. They were astonished at Jesus' doctrine. We are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and breaking the bread and prayers and fellowship and breaking the bread and in prayers. So doctrine, the word doctrine simply means teaching. And so even the Muslims, that's one thing that they want to say. And I remember I witnessed to a guy one time. I was over at a friend's house, excuse me, and I witnessed to a guy, and he thought he was going to, he's a young guy, he thought that he was going to corner me. So I didn't let him back in once I got to talking. So I let him know that's all that those folks want to say is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches. That is what they want to say. That he and the man is not honorable at all. I read that book, The Malcolm X, Autobiography of Malcolm X by Alex Hayes, back in the 70s. And when they made that movie in the 90s, the movie was just like the book. So he realized he got deceived by these people. And God only knows what Malcolm X would have done, because he left that nation. And those so-called brothers was the one who killed him. So much for that. But anyway, got to get understanding. So like someone said the other day, one of my Facebook friends made a statement about religion and how religion binds you. And this is a sister. She's absolutely right. Religion binds you to a cause. And see, that's why Paul said that how he was above many his equals in the Jews' religion, you know, Judaism. That stuff is all done away with. So now, that's why Jesus said, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You know, they were talking about they was Abraham's children. They be not in bondage. It's in the 8th chapter of St. John. And he was saying, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You know, he said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, in the 8th chapter. And he says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, not set you free. So you're not bound by laws. So everything in the New Testament church should be governed by love. So, 'cause they asked him one time, they tried to trap him, Jesus, during his earthly ministry. Master, what is the great commandment? He let them know, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And he went on to say, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. So this is what the Lord was wanting Israel to know. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And that's when he was saying you should love him. So how do you love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength? It's all saying the same thing. Your heart is open,
you will do what he says. It's not a bunch of rules. You're free in him. So some things you don't want to do. Like I tell people, someone was talking about drinking. So I got saved in 1976. I was 23, just before I turned, some months before I turned 24. I used to drink. I tell people, I drank enough to dive in and drown. I don't do that anymore. I don't have a desire. If I go out to dinner, I don't drink. I don't want it. I know where the story is if I wanted it. I don't have a desire. I have the new wine, which is the Holy Ghost. So this is what Peter was saying. They were trying to say, on the day of Pentecost, go read it. These men are full of new wine, is what they said. Peter's standing up saying, these men are not drunk as ye suppose, seeing as but the third hour of the day. It was 9 o'clock in the morning. But he let them know, this is that which is spoken of by the prophet Joel, or Joel, whichever way you want to pronounce it. Shall come to pass, saith God, this is in Joel 2 and 28, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. So that was God pouring out his spirit. So the Holy Ghost speaking with another tongue or another language, not the one, not your native language, but another language is the evidence of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So remember now, he gave it to the 12 apostles. And so even in the third chapter of St. John, he was saying, he told Nicodemus, he came to him by night, we know you're a good teacher. We know you're a teacher come from God, a good master, he said, your teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus let him know, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He went on to say, Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus let him know, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So he says, you are Master Israel. You don't know these things? So he says, you can't, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he can't enter into the kingdom of God. Then he went on to give the answer, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. So in other words, you're born again. Your spirit is born again. He said, marvel not, or don't wonder what I say. You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeneth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whether it cometh or whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. What does he say? There's a sound. You don't know which way the wind is coming. You know which way it's going, but you can see the effects of it, and you can hear the sound. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. On the day, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them clothing, or divided tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. Verse 4 in Acts 2, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So that is the new birth. So this, you go on, Peter preached to them and let them know, you know, all the house of Israel know it surely that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. In other words, people don't, they have a problem with believing that Jesus is God. God is everywhere and every place. He's an invisible spirit. He's omnipresent. That means he's everywhere and in every place. He's omniscient. That means he's all-knowing. Omnipotent. That means he has all power. So he housed himself in that body. That's why the writer wrote Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So he came into the world that he made in a human body. In the 40th chapter of the Psalms, thou sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest, but a body thou hast prepared me. And in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, he made himself a body. So he became the great high priest. He was the God that received the sin offering. He said, no man take my life. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. I'm the good shepherd, the 10th chapter of St. John. I'm the door. By me, if any man come in and be saved, he shall go out and find pasture. So just like he said in the 11th chapter of St. John, Mary said, Martha and Mary, when they lost their brother Lazarus, says, my brother, Lord, you have been here. My brother had not died. I know whatsoever thou askest of God, he will give it thee. And he let her know, thy brother shall rise again. And then she said, I know he's going to rise in the resurrection of the last day. This is Martha talking to Jesus. He says, I am the same I am back there in Moses' day, the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever believeth, liveth and believeth in me, shall never die. Believest thou this? So he prayed, you know, I thank thee, Father, thou hast heard me and you hear me always. He did it for the people that were standing by. Because remember now, when he came, he brought his voice with him. Because he is the giver of life. He is God incarnate. So he had thus spake. The writer John says he cried. That means that's a proclamation. With a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. He was dead, came forth bound hand and foot, with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, the people that were standing by, loose him and let him go. So in other words, take his grave clothes off. He alive. I mean, he called a man out of the grave. It still was tied up and came forth, because somebody said if he didn't call him by his name, everybody would have got up. That's what he's going to do again. He's going to make a cry and call his people, the church, triumphant out of the earth. Not buildings, but the body of believers. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, the 13th chapter, we believe that God, Jesus rose and was buried and rose again, even though them were sleeping, Jesus. Paul says, well, God bring with him. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep. In other words, we're not going to hinder him. And he goes on to say, for the Lord himself, not Michael the archangel or Gabriel to stand in the presence of God, but the Lord himself shall descend. Now, let me pause right there. God is so high and lifted up that he hath to humble himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. He's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. That's all simultaneously. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. He goes on to say, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So this is what we were talking about on last week when we said that there was a door open in heaven. Immediately, John said, I was in the spirit, and there was a door open in heaven. That is the rapture of the church in the fourth chapter. After this, I looked, comma, and, comma, behold, comma. I want you to see this, is what he's saying. A door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. And how many sat on the throne? One sat on the throne. So there's only one. Like somebody said, this song says, oh, yes, there's one. There's only one. Blessed, blessed Jesus, he's the one. So you got to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse, that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And this is what he wrote in 1 Corinthians to the Corinthian church. So we going on here, we're still talking about the visions of St. John. So these things that the Lord showed John, they're going to come to pass. And should you desire to call in, I know I get going, because I don't know if you're not logged in on Blog Talk, then you wouldn't have my number. But anyway, a call-in number, 646-716-6566. That is, should you desire to call in, you have a question, you have a comment, you are welcome. 646 716-6566. Okay, so we were talking about the remnant, and we talked about the remnant, the 144,000 that were sealed, and a great number, a multitude which no man can number, and of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. So you got to understand his office that he's in. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. So you got to understand that the lion and the lamb and God is the self same one, saying, amen, blessing and honor and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? Whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. He said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. So in other words, they're going to have, like I made mention on last time, they're not going to have any more reason to cry. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of an half hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And see, there's another place in here too. See, that's one thing we are going to take to heaven is our prayers. Excuse me. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. There were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded. There followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees was burnt up. And the all green grass was burned up. Now these are judgments. Second angel sounded, as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. Okay. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. So, let's see, my tags. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. So anyway, they prepared them. Oh, the verse 6, that's where I have, and the seven angels which stood had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. So that's what we're talking about. So these are judgments is what we're trying to get you to see here. So in the third part, the third angel sounded, there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the sea, upon the third part of the rivers, tens of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. So that's showing you right there, you got to have water to live. And I forget exactly what, how much of our body is water. So in other words, that's why you have to drink water all the time, because there's life in that to keep our body alive. Like we say, we are our bodies. We're corruptible creatures. And so, like I've said, one time I knew I was working at General Motors, and a guy died in the parking lot. And so I guess, I don't know if he was there the whole weekend, but they, when they found him, he had maggots. So, case in point, where did they come from? Did they say, oh, you know, so-and-so died, let's go get in him? No. They came out of the body. They're in us. We are, Psalms 22 and 6, this is known as the crucifixion psalm. There's a very important part there, because somebody preached one time to God who became a worm. So Psalm 22 and 6 says, but I am a worm and no man, reproach of men and despise of the people. So in other words, we are corruptible. That is why we are showering and using Dial and using Zest and you know, all these colognes and lotions and toothpaste and gargling with Listerine and Scope and all of these things that we are doing because we are corruptible, to keep that back. So you got to have water to live. You need water to drink. You need water to live, to bathe with. Water, life is in water. You got to have water. You can't survive without water. Like you become, and too many people even today are dehydrated. It's like you say, you either hydrated or you're dehydrated. So some folks, if you don't drink enough water, you're not going to be dehydrated. You already are. So that affects, so in other words, when you have water like you should, you got to have it to live, then it will help you. Everything will work better when you have the proper amount of, we call it H2O, water. So anyway, the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, third part of the moon, third part of the stars. So the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone, not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. Remember now, I got off on talking about that water thing, because this wormwood, the star called wormwood, the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. So in other words, that wasn't no good. When it's contaminated, it's just as bad as not having good clean water to drink. So we go on here, and after the fifth angel sounded, I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And I just want to stop right there for a little bit. And so when you're reading prophecy, say like in the book of Joel, says, your sons, your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. This is in the second chapter, because it's talking about the Holy Ghost being poured out in the 28th verse. Then it goes on to say, about the moon be darkened and turned into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord. And then I think Peter kind of, when he's preaching, he does that also. But the point being, you're going into another dispensation. This is going to be the time after the church is gone. You never seen things. You're talking about storms and different things getting out of orders, earthquakes. There's an earth, like people keep talking about the big one. They're making mention about out in California, the big one and all that. But you know where the big earthquake, the big one, is Revelation 16 and 18. So, I mean, the answer is right here in the Word of God. I will read that since I made mention about it. Now, this, you tell me if this is, we're talking about the big one. They keep the big one, they call it the big earthquake. So Revelation 16 and 18, there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. Now, my question is, if that is not the big one, as they say, what is the big one? So that's going to be, so the big one is not going to be until after the church is gone out of the earth. And so that is known during that time, these woes and judgments is known as the tribulation period. The first 3.5 years, the earth is going to prosper like never before. And after that, the mystery of iniquity, the abomination of desolation, like we were talking about. So in the 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter says, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. So what iniquity, like they said, that's what was found in Lucifer when he made himself the devil and Satan. So like someone said, I like the definition, that's as one evangelist says, iniquity, I meant to do it. So in other words, iniquity was found in Lucifer. God cast him out like a streak of lightning. Like Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven. And so how could he make that statement? Because he was the one who threw him out. So iniquity, I meant to do it. So you know, that's a good definition. So in other words, there's a difference between sin and iniquity. There's degrees, and there's degrees of judgment and wrath and God's anger and all that stuff. That's why they say woe to the inhabitants of the earth. So that's why it's so imperative to be born again so you can go get caught away in the rapture of the church. Now, Enoch is a type of the rapture of the church. He was the seventh from Adam. He was translated that he should not see death. And the Hebrew writer goes on to say, and before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That's why he goes on to say, without faith it is impossible to please him, but he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So you don't want to be here. So this stuff you can get really, 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 it's going to be no joke when these judgments are going to happen. And what I was going to say, like in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, which is talking about the mystery of iniquity and the man of sin. And so I'll turn there also too. But that is making reference to is after the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period is when, like I said, the abomination of desolation. So he's going to sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So in other words, here we go. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, nor or be troubled. This is Apostle Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica. Neither by spirit, neither by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. This is Apostle Paul writing. Now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. So in other words, it's a mystery. Why would a man want another man? It's a mystery. Why would a woman want another woman? That's a mystery. So a mystery of iniquity. So it's already working. So Only he who now letteth, that word letteth means letteth means to hinder, will let until he be taken out of the way. Talking about the church is here. The Holy Ghost in the church is in the earth. The prayers of the people of God is in the earth. There's enough wickedness and craziness going on right now, but the devil can't work like he really want to work until the church is gone. Then shall the wicked be revealed. So in other words, after the church be taken away, remember that fourth chapter, that door opened, the church is caught away, translated, and then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So what is this mystery that he's talking about? Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness of them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. This is what we're talking about now. So people, there's a group of people that call the apostolic church, they gave them the name Jesus only because they don't understand that he is God. And you got to write, and it comes by revelation. No man, like the scripture says, every spirit that confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is Antichrist. This is what John writes. He didn't say that God's come in the flesh. He said that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. What Jesus told them when he was transfigured before them in the Mount of Transfiguration, he charged them that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. I mean, you got to get it. He is the Christ. He is the, just like they said, truly, this was the Son of God. Other words, man, this is the body that God was in. This is the Messiah. This is the Christos, the anointed flesh of God. So that, you know, it comes by revelation. It has to be revealed to you who he is. And he is one. I mean, it amazes me. People think it's two or three gods because they simply don't have the revelation, and also they don't understand biblical terminology. So you when you hear the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, he's a lot. He's the bishop of our souls. He is the apostle of our profession. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Lord of Hosts. He has so many titles. He's the captain of our salvation. He's the door. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the good shepherd. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. He has so many titles. He's the word of God in the 19th chapter of Revelation. He's the mighty God. His name is called the Word of God. He is the King of Kings. 1 Timothy 6:15 says, which in his times he shall show who is that blessed and only potentate, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So, I mean, people, that they don't understand with their natural mind, thinking that it's three gods or it's two gods, but you believe that he's in a lot of people. I mean, people have the Holy Ghost. That is the Spirit of God. That's the same Spirit that's in the man Christ Jesus. This is why Paul says there's one God. In 1 Timothy, the second chapter, he was talking about prayers. excuse me, supplication be made for all men, for kings, for rulers, all that lead in authority, you know, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Then he goes on to say there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. You know, how he gave himself a ransom to be testified in due time. So this is God that laid down his life. And so that's, you know, 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, that's the scripture that I read when I go off. without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest. Notice the subject is not Jesus. The subject is God. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into the glory. The subject is God. So it's the self-same one. So here, as we go on in the ninth chapter, and the fifth angel sounded, I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. He opened the bottomless pit. There arose the smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. There came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. It was commanded they should not hurt the grass, nor the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. Their torment was as the torment of a scorpion, which when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And so that's going to be the time people can't even die. For 5 months will flee. So, I mean, they could jump off the highest building in the world and splatter all to pieces. And God say, live on. Because how do a man die? God got to take his spirit out of a man for him to die. So we're moving on here, these visions that John had. And so the shapes of the locusts were like the on the horses prepared under battle. On their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. Their faces were as the faces of men. They had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth, whereas the teeth of lions. They had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots, of many horses running the battle. And they had tails like on the scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. See, this is what we were saying. You got to pay very close attention to repetition. What is he saying here? But all of this, what they're doing, they're, for 5 months, nobody can die. They're tormenting men for 5 months. So in other words, he wants you to get this. He saw it. It's going to come to pass. They had a long, they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. You imagine that? Who want a king over them? Whose name is in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. But in the Greek tongue, his name is Apollyon. Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. Sixth angel sounded, heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loose, prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. Now, you've been listening to me. I make mention the battle of, about the battle of Armageddon, which in so in other words, what that means is the word means mount of slaughter. Armageddon means so that's this mount. When the earth is going to be opened up, and it's going to God is going to kill people in 1 hour. He's going to there are going to be blood for 200 miles long, coming up to the horse's bridle. Now, if you people that some of you all ride horses, you know how tall a horse is. When a big horse standing on the ground, where the bridle, where they put in his mouth, what you use to guide him with, standing on the ground, that's up high. Blood for 200 miles up to the horse's bridles. That is, you don't want to be there in that. So he goes on here, and the sixth angel sounded. I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. So in other words, they loosed them. The angels, four angels, were bound in the great river Euphrates. The four angels were loosed, which prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, and to slay the third part of men. The number of the army of the horsemen were 200 1,000,000, and I heard the number of them, and thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth, and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. You imagine that? Out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. But by these three was the third part of men killed, by fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should worship, they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. And John goes in here to say, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorcerers, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. So we used to have a saying, someone in the 70s, they were talking about quicksand. And the more you wiggle, the deeper you sink, which is you can't get out. You need somebody to help you get out of quicksand. So this is how sin is. So Peter says that we are, you know, he saved us. In 2 Peter, when he's writing his letter, I actually did a lesson on that. Saved us, you know, from the corruption in the world through lust. So this is what all this pornography and all that stuff is, lust. That stuff will drive you crazy, because the point being that, like James says, he giveth more grace. You know, he said, know ye not that the enemy of the world, the if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. So he says that the spirit in us, the spirit that is in us lusteth to envy. So he says, wherefore, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, he shall lift you up. So in other words, lust will drive you crazy. So what did you notice what he said right here? They repented not of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. And love of money is root of all evil. John writes in 1 Timothy 6:10, he says, which while some have coveted after have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. He's writing to his son Timothy in the gospel, letting him know, man of God, flee these things, follow after righteousness, faith, and godliness. You know, them that call on God out of a pure heart. So all these things that are going on, like people talk about Las Vegas and all that. I mean, I've been there. I got a son who lives in Vegas. I actually went twice, left and went back again. But I stayed there. I didn't go out on the town. You know, out in these places that they're talking about. We actually have a number of churches there, and I had a very nice time when I went to church there in Vegas. So you don't have to participate, and I don't gamble. So that don't, they got slot machines in the airport. Everywhere you look, they got slot machines all over the place. And you got to walk through casinos to get to restaurants. I mean, virtually everywhere you go, got slot machines up and down. But it's where is your heart at? It's what, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So Peter says, we have escaped the corruption in the world through lust. And he says, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. That's when he was saying, add to your faith virtue, knowledge, brotherly kindness, charity. And all he's going to say, these things be in you and abound, they make you not, you know, neither to be, in other words, you'll be knowledgeable, you'll be fruitful. And he goes on to say, but you lack those things, you're blind, you cannot see afar off, but you forgot that you were purged from your old sins. So he's saying you got to make your calling and your election sure. And if you do those things, ye shall never fall. He says, so an interest shall be ministered abundantly unto you, you know, by our Lord Jesus Christ. So God is definitely going to judge the world. And see, the system of the world, steal, borrow, beg, lie, cheat, all these things that people are doing. And so you got to realize the things which are seen are temporal. See, that's why John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. All that's in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, they are not of the Father, they are of the world. He goes on to say, the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So things that you don't see are, the things that you see are temporal, and the things that you don't see are eternal. So there is, can walk with God. So that's why he was saying, he made it plain, like the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. So in other words, it's not natural thing. The kingdom of God is an invisible kingdom. It's not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So you're in the world, like you said, we walk in the flesh, Paul said, but we don't war after the flesh. So we're not, you know, people are talking about when I was in the world, you're still in the world. But we understand what they're saying. So in other words, you're not a part of the world system because you don't do those things. You keep yourself, let God keep you as a child of God. You, like me, I was married for 39 years and my wife passed away. So I'm a single man, and I'm not fornicating with people, because sexual intercourse, that's the only thing that makes you one, is the sex act and your name. That's for married people. So God can keep you from that. So you got to keep your body, bring it unto subjection. Paul says that's what he does. Lest by any means he preach to others that he be a castaway. So we thank God on today for his word. And we will talk to you on. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And I still have my ongoing question to all my listeners, and that is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?